Hey, it's Darren Johnson, Campus XM, Real Journalism Podcast. I'm in car studio. You can hear my car keys. So I'll let this fade out a little bit. All right, so it's a warm night in early May, and I got out an issue of the local paper, and I'm just getting out a copy of Campus News, which is my other newspaper, a paper I've had for 10 years, and I own a couple of newspapers. In this, this car studio, we've had like car expenses this year, and like sometimes the difference between mechanics can be amazing. I had this car, which is my wife's Jeep, which I usually pick up the paper in because it's bigger, pick it up from the printing plant with it because it could fit all the papers in it. And, it had some issues this year. It had a broken window at one point, and it had, had a tire I ran over, like this huge like spike that was in the road, and it flattened the tire and when I was going to get the paper, and I reported about that in a previous podcast, and then I brought it for inspection. Its inspection was up, and the guy said, yeah, you need a whole new suspension and brakes, and you know, that was like $900. And I said, hey, you know, this car has had a problem for the longest time. It has, it has like this stuttering problem, and I explained it exactly. I even wrote it down and, you know, gave it to his girlfriend / secretary. A lot of these mechanics, they get like a younger girlfriend. They all have kind of the same look too. I've noticed going to the mechanics, they get the girlfriend to work the front desk after a while. Usually the mechanic's like middle aged and the girlfriend's younger. And, I don't know if it's like second, you know, wife or whatever, But I even, you know, wrote it down, and this guy, he had been a good mechanic previously, but, you know, the cost he charged me for the new parts, you know, and it made me kind of question his ability. And then when I described what was wrong with the Jeep, he just, you know, he seemed like he wasn't really listening. Like, he wasn't really listening. And I'm not a dummy. I know how to describe a car issue. You know, I'm not going to just say, oh, I don't know what it is, it's making a noise. You know, I described exactly, I went on car forums, and car forums on the internet are the most idiotic people, because you look up a symptom that your car has and all these idiots pipe in, and they're 99% wrong. Like, people will replace like whole major parts of their engine because of some problem that is diagnosed. Well, I have, you know, it slows at stoplights, and it sputters at 30 miles an hour, and there's a little wobble or whatever. And people will type in the symptoms, and, you know, the check engine light flashes 3 times, and, you know, they'll type in, like, the exact symptoms. And then all these people have these quote-unquote cures for it. If you're idiotic and you follow along with these cures, you'll spend thousands of dollars. You know, they're just, and a lot of them are just time wasters. So this guy, you know, I described it exactly what was wrong with it. And he said, well, there's no check engine light on, so I can't run a diagnostic, and it would, you know, it would take a long time to figure out what was wrong with it. All right. So, but he inspected the car and fixed the undercarriage and all that. And it, you know, was driving. So, we were driving around last week, and we stopped for ice cream at a, you know, no one's social distancing. We stopped for ice cream at a local dairy, because in the local edition of the newspaper, the Journal and Press, one of our writers did a story on how farms are coping. So I figured I'd go into this dairy and snap some pictures, and that would be representative, because she did interview the owner of this farm. So go in there, get some ice cream, and, you know, and take some pictures of the girls working, women working behind the counter. I don't know if they were girls or women, if they're 18 or older. And they were wearing masks too, you know. And, you know, scooping ice cream. I got some maple ice cream, and, you know, that's a detail you just didn't need to know, but got some maple ice cream. It was good. You know, good. That's the one thing about upstate New York. It has good food. So, like, the dairies are all, there's dairies up in upstate New York. So the ice cream's usually good. And then there's, like, you know, the pizza. There's, like, pockets of good pizza. And you can still find decent bagels upstate sometimes. There's a lot of good Italian food. So stuff like that. Pastries. So some good food upstate, downstate too, especially, but you know, the whole state has good food. So go in, and then we get out, and we're about to go to do some errands for the day, and the car just starts really like bouncing, and the check engine light finally does come on. It does like three flashes, and the car was running really rough, and I was like, oh geez, you know. So this problem I've had for about a year, and I've described it to this mechanic twice. He couldn't figure it out, and now like we have to drive 40 miles an hour home. You know, we have to go slow home, slower than usual. And we're like, oh, what is this? So I figured, you know, we're in this quarantine era and everything, and mechanics, you know, they're looking for stuff to do. I was like, maybe I'll try a different mechanic. So I posted a post like looking for a mechanic in the town near me. Plus the other thing is too, I wanted to be able to, if this is going to take a while, walk home. So saw if there were some mechanics within walking distance, and there were, because this other mechanic I had, it was a little bit of a drive. You know, it was like three miles or so up a hill. Wasn't an easy walk. So I found some mechanics that were within a mile. So if I had to walk home, I could. So I found this guy, you know, it was kind of like a nondescript place, but it got good reviews online. People suggested it. And I told him exactly what it was. And he knew right off the bat exactly what it was. He said, oh, yeah, that's an ignition coil. I told him the model of car and everything. That's the ignition coil. It happens in that car. So here was a guy who knew. He listened. I saw, like, the little light bulb go off in his brain. His eyes went back a little bit. Thought about it. And then he executed. So, and sure enough, I brought it in. And it was the ignition coil. Not a very expensive repair. And while he was at it, he said, I may as well switch to spark plugs and change your oil, too, because when you have that sputter, it kicks gasoline into the oil case, so you need new oil. So, you know, all of this for under $300, all done. The other guy, he would have probably taken hours to try to diagnose it. He would have done, like, a vacuum check, you know, see if there was a vacuum leak, and would have, like, done all these different diagnostics. When someone who you know, knew what they're talking about, found it right away. And I looked on the auto forums. None of these forums had that as the solution. So whenever there's like some kind of problem, I find this for computer repair forums too, or any kind of repair forum, there's a lot of bad advice out there. So be careful what you get. You can't really trust your fellow man when it comes to advice. A lot of people are talking out of their butts. So you gotta be careful with that. So this guy diagnosed it right away. So now I'm going to go to this mechanic from now on, and maybe he'll do like, you know, he'll do an ad swap or something like that, where I can swap ads in my newspaper and he'll give me auto repairs, you know, or something like that, snow tires or something. So maybe we'll see what happens. Generally though, I don't need mechanics that much. It just seems like this year I've needed mechanics. I don't know, you know, and I've had computer problems and all kinds of stuff. Maybe it was because I hit my 50th birthday and now I'm suddenly inept. You know, and I'm like one of these people that can't work the remote control or set the VCR clock. I'm one of those people now. All of a sudden, I'm like, oh, newfangled kids nowadays. I'm one of those people. So that's what's happened. And you know, I wanted to, I was just speaking to my wife earlier, and, you know, she kind of rolls her eyes, but I was talking about, like, how this apocalypse happened, this COVID-19 apocalypse, and, you know, I have campus news, but, and it looks like the advertisers are still sticking with it, and they're going to come back in the fall and all that, and that's the free paper I've had for 10 years, it's colleges. But I was talking about the other paper, which I picked up over the holiday season. It was my Christmas gift to myself. The Journal and Press, which is the locals is called the Journal. Because, all right, it was the Greenwich Journal. And then the owners of which bought a paper called the Salem Press. But Salem's a much smaller town than Greenwich. So it's Journal and Press. And then they owned another paper, which now is totally defunct, called The Advertiser. And I don't think I would call a paper The Advertiser nowadays, because people would think it's the Penny Saver or something like that. So the name has no historic value. So I couldn't restart the advertiser if I wanted in this region, which is in a neighboring town that doesn't have a newspaper currently. But I was saying, you know, to maximize production, I was like saying, you know, thankfully I bought this other paper at Christmas. And what I really bought was debt. I bought the debt of the paper and, you know, gave a little bit more of a sum, but paid the debt of the paper because the previous owner couldn't do it anymore. And, but you can't just close your paper because you have all these subscribers. And so I bought like all the subscribers, and the previous owner hadn't published for 2 months. So I have to do a make good for all the subscribers, give them 2 more free months. And the ones that had, you know, that were about to expire, I gave them 2 free months. So I had to fund this paper for 2 months. And then I could send out subscription renewals. And a lot more people signed on too. So I was able to sell subscriptions because people like the new paper. It looks more modern and it has more content in it. And sell, you know, and get the old people eventually to come back once we got over this 2 month grace period, you know, where we had to make good on the 2 months that the previous owner hadn't done anything. So pretty much bought a debt, but now it's at the point where I can send out renewal notices. I've done it the past couple months and they almost all renew, you know, unless they're gone, you know, from this mortal coil or at least the area. They renew. So, you know, let's say it's, I don't know, 30 people a month. Does that make sense? No, it's probably more like 40. 40 a month, 50 a month. And it's $36. So if you get 50 subscriptions in a month, and that's $36, that's $1,800 that you're getting. And the postage is only about like $130 per issue, so $260 per month, and you're getting $1,800. So you're making like $1,500. You know, now there's the printing cost, but you don't count that because if you had a free publication, you'd have a printing cost too. And let's say the ads or the newsstand, there are newsstand sales too, pays for the printing costs. Let's say that. So, you know, it's like $1,800. It's not, you know, wow, look at me, I'm rich, you know, type money. But during this COVID apocalypse thing, with the other newspaper suffering more so, because who knows what's going to happen to colleges and free papers. Free papers are falling apart. I think we'll survive it. I got a note from the city of New York. Every quarter, they make us get an affidavit saying we're keeping our boxes clean and neat on the streets of New York, because they have boxes for campus news on the streets of New York. And in the message they sent to the papers, hey, if you're out of business, let us know. I guess so many papers have gone out of business, especially free papers, during this crisis that, you know, they're like, get your boxes off the street, but we're going to survive this thing. We'll be okay with it. So I don't know where I'm going to get a notary for this affidavit thing. I think there are e-notaries or something that are allowed during a crisis like this, but I don't know. So there's that. And so you're getting, you know, let's say $1,800 a month if you get a small paper. And, you know, you could hire volunteers and freelancers and interns. There's a college near here that has a good program, and they can provide some interns, and they don't need to be paid necessarily if it's a learning experience. So I can fill the paper that way, and people are happy with the quality of writing. And if I'm low on writers one issue, I'll just write stuff myself. I'm a good writer. I was a Press Association Writer of the Year at one point. I can write. So we have that aspect. The other thing are trades. You can do interesting trades with if you own a small paper. So that's another plus of owning one. So, you know, like, let's say, you know, like I got a dumpster a couple weeks ago where I just traded with the dumpster company. And I noticed there's a guy who does, like, power washing. I might do them. There's another one who does flooring. We need new flooring. You know, so there could be like interesting trades. Maybe once the restaurants reopen, I could do some interesting trades with them. Although I don't want to, you know, how much more weight can I possibly gain? I'm eating pantry food, like, you know, not from a free pantry, but we created a pantry in our own house. And I find myself eating more than usual. I didn't used to eat lunch. Now I'm eating lunch. I'm eating goldfish crackers in the middle of the day, too. You know, like what snacks. There's snacks. So, you know, like at my peak, maybe I would eat breakfast and dinner and exercise in the middle of the day. Now it's like breakfast, lunch, snack, dinner, no exercise. You know, so it's like, or if it's exercise, it's walking the dog, which is barely exercise because our dog's geriatric. So it's not very, very good exercise. It's not like I'm running a marathon. So, you know, there's that aspect too, which is fun. The fun part about owning a small town paper. So I was saying to my wife, like, you know, this is kind of cool and it is work, but I could probably like make the work more efficient if I owned a second paper. Now, you know, a second local paper. I have campus news. A third paper, I guess, would be for me. And then I can kind of like centralize things a little. And, you know, and my wife says, where are you going to find the time for this? You don't even have time for the two papers you're doing. And I don't know where I'm finding time to record this podcast late at night in car studio. But there could be like some efficiencies there. And then, you know, and some of these papers you can get for a song. You know, they're almost giving them away for free. Or I think there are some papers that have been given away for free. And if they have a subscriber list, and if they've maintained their Facebook, and, you know, there's some value in that. There's a value in having the postage permit. So there's a lot of value in that, because those are hard to get. Those are hard to get. It's a lot of work and a lot of money, and you still might not be approved for a postage permit. You probably have to be in business for at least, you know, a year or so to get, like, and prove that you're selling on newsstands. And who's going to buy your newspaper nowadays on newsstands? It's almost impossible to start a paid circulation paper. Now, you could be a free paper that goes in the mail, but they pay a different rate. It's a different business model. But to be like a paper that is a paper of record type paper that gets legal ads and such, then you have to establish that. It takes a while. So if you buy an existing paper that's about to go out of business, you get their mailing permit. If they've been maintaining the Facebook, like I think I have everyone in my town on our Facebook page. That's valuable. There's some value there. I can boost stuff. Usually I just boost my own subscriptions and I've been selling them that way. But I can boost stuff just to my own audience and make money. If I spend $10 on a Facebook boost, I might make $100 in subscription sales. Now, of course, there's a limit. I can't boost $1,000 and expect to make $10,000. It's not like it works that well. But, you know, I could boost $10 here, $10 there, and I'm usually making at least one $36 sale on a $10 boost, if not two or three or more. So it's if you find a paper that has built its Facebook presence and you know, it has something, even though they haven't utilized it yet, really, they haven't marketed it, but they have a Facebook presence, they have a mailing permit, they have some name recognition in the community. There's some value there. I don't think those papers are necessarily going to die. They just probably have been, the editors have probably been tired. And you can do certain things with them. So that's something to think about with a small paper. Some, you know, minuses, well, I don't know if they're minuses, but some things I didn't expect starting a small paper. I get lots of phone calls, like lots. Now, most people know to send an email. People maybe under 50 know to send an email. Because an email is so much easier to deal with. Or they'll send a message through Facebook. Little more tedious, but not as bad. But I get a lot of phone calls from especially senior citizens. So I have to, like, you know, take it down a notch and not be this New Yorker type person and be cool and ask them how they're doing and take it a little bit slowly. These are the subscribers. They're important. And a lot of them, you know, they don't know how to use the computer, or they don't have a computer, or whatever it is. So, you know, the print publication's important, more important even than, you know, to the people who do have internet and can get the paper other ways. So, you know, there's that audience. And, you know, so you will get those. And I get long letters in the mail, handwritten a lot of times. And I don't know what to do with those. I think I'm going to, I've started delegating my daughter to answer senior citizens that send manifestos. So I'm going to give her the letters and see if she can muster up a response. Because she's currently, you know, she helps with the paper, but she's more unemployed. She was student teaching, and schools are closed, and they don't need student teachers at this point. So in the fall, she'll be busier, but maybe this summer I'll give her some of these manifestos. I seriously mean, like, and I guess they're older people in nursing homes or whatever, but, like, handwritten loose leaf, 8-page letters that I'll get. I have 3 that need to be attended to that I've gotten in the past couple weeks. And it's just like, ugh, this is something I haven't thought about since the 70s or something, but it's like, oh my God. So that's the other thing you have to think about too. Well, it's a warm night, and I'm going to have a busy day tomorrow. I have to finish up this campus news and get it out, get it to New York City. People are still picking up the newspaper, even in the free boxes. It's unfortunate we can't get on the campuses with campus news, but we are right outside the campuses in news boxes, and people are finding it still, and we're online. So we're trying as hard as we can, and that's what we're doing. That's what we're doing in this day and age. So here are my car keys. I'm going to leave car studio. Have a good night, everyone, or if it's daytime, have a good day, and tell your friends about this podcast. Find it on campusxm.wordpress.com or campusxm.com for the archives. So you can email me anytime, and find this on iTunes as well. So send me an email at campusxm@ccn.us.